Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Premier Foods Q1 Interim Management Statement. My name is Lynn. I will be your coordinator for today's conference. For the duration of this call, you will be on listen only. However, at the end of the presentation, you will have the opportunity to ask questions. If at any time you need assistance, please press star zero on your telephone keypad. You will be connected with an operator. I will now hand over to Gavin Darby to begin today's conference. Thank you.
Good morning to you all. It's Gavin here. I'm joined by Mark Moran, our CFO. As you will have seen earlier today, we issued our IMS for the period, the 3 months to the end of March this year. I suppose the headline two points are that we continue to have growth momentum behind our power brands, and we have unchanged expectations for the year. In terms of sales, our sales were up 1% for the quarter to 327 million. Most importantly, the power brands, which as you know is where our focus is, were up 3.5%, the grocery power brands. And I suppose the key headline for us here is that that represents the fifth consecutive quarter of sales, of strong growth for our grocery power brands, and that in itself is a manifestation, we believe, of the success of focusing our investment behind those core brands. I mean, our sales in quarter one benefited from both price increases and volume growth in some categories. We saw particularly strong growth in two key subcategories for us, the ambient desserts category and stocks and gravies, where, you know, we have three different brands and they're all have big shares. So we're seeing market growth and brand growth within strong market segments in those cases. We have continued our heavy momentum or focus on marketing, which I believe will be key. You know, these brands have been significantly underinvested in the past, and we're in the kind of second year or second full year of investing, bringing these brands back to people's attention. We committed resources behind five, or marketing resources, of the power brands, in five of them were on TV in the quarter, with new advertising copy for all five of the brands: Bisto, OXO, Sharwood's, Loyd Grossman, and Ambrosia. In my experience, it's unusual to have five brands on TV in a quarter and all five of them with new advertising, which is evidence of our focus and commitment. And as an example of a brand that has been significantly underinvested in, Ambrosia, which is kind of the gold standard for custard. Custard was on TV for the first time in 10 years as a manifestation, as I say, of investing behind our brand. Innovation is also very important. So we've got two initiatives in terms of innovation playing out. One, as we've discussed, the quarter one launch of Ambrosia Devon Cream, which is an ambient alternative to cream, and although really this is focused on summer sales of quarter two and three, we had very early take up from some of our big retailers, and it's selling well even in advance really of the season and the marketing and advertising which will come with it. Soon to happen is OXO's Shake and Flavor. That's an example of us extending our and broadening our big brands. And this product will be launched actually in the second quarter, and it allows consumers to sprinkle flavoured OXO seasoning granules during cooking or as a finishing touch, helping liven up a range of different dishes. We've also continued to focus on building and strengthening our customer and trade relationships. We have more joint business plans in place now at this point in 2013 than we had a year ago, and so we're seeing continued strengthening in this regard. An example would be the scale of which we had kind of tailored activity customer by customer in February with Sharwood's behind the Chinese New Year, which was a big, massive, fully integrated program, TV, print, posters, and most importantly, a lot of in-store display and promotions with a range of key customers. That's an example of the way we're now beginning to work in a more integrated way between our brand and marketing programs and our customer partners. In addition to continue to drive our brands in these ways. As I began to talk about my first two or three weeks, I do see future opportunities to reduce complexity and SKUs. I feel my early impressions are that we have still too many flavors, ingredients, varieties, packaging, variations, and sometimes SKUs. And we'll be talking more about this as we will be working particularly on this in this quarter and talking in a bit more detail about those cost opportunities when we get to our half-year results in August. I mean, clearly bread is very important to this company, and bread had a very troubled year last year. I mean, the headline on bread is that we are well advanced with our fundamental industrial restructuring. We've closed in the quarter one of our bakeries, the Eastleigh Bakery, and one of our mills, the Glasgow Mill. We will have exited the contract, the major contract that we've discussed with you in the past, by the end of this month. Our second big bakery at the same time, and the third bakery we will close in the weeks that follow. So the important thing there is we are absolutely on track with taking out the costs associated with that contract and are curtailing or addressing, reshaping effectively our industrial capacity both in baking, milling, and in logistical distribution to go in line with what we see as profitable growth in the bread business. And we think that's a bold move and one that's very much on track. So bread and milling remains on track. Our brand share in with Hovis was broadly unchanged, so it's flat at this point. Clearly there'll be a little bit of share transfer when that contract moves on, but at this point Hovis holds its share in the first quarter. Regarding overhead costs, something we've talked about in the past, I'm pleased to say we've already delivered the 20 million of savings that we talked about, and we can see those flowing through, so those savings have happened. With regard to net debt, we continue to guide towards a range of 40 to 60 million of free cash flow generation. Obviously, there's a contribution to continuing to reduce net debt. So those are really the big points. I mean, our performance, I think, is very much kind of steady as you go. I think it's encouraging in a difficult environment. I'm trying to not use the overused word challenging, but I think we feel comfortable that we're getting traction out of our strategies of focusing on our big brands, the power brands, working closer with our customers, reducing costs, rebuilding value in bread. All of those things are beginning to happen. I suppose the overriding message I was given when I met many people in my first month, whether it be shareholders, people who observe and write and study the company like yourselves, was that what Premier really needs is now a period of steady trading performance after 3 years of acquisitions and 2 years of disposals. We need to have the business focused on marketing its brand, selling successfully and generating cash from trading operations. I think this quarter to me feels very much the first of those, and steady as you go is if that's the way people look at it, very much what we're looking for, and would be very much the way we see it. So that with as a summary, I'd like to throw it open to you all for any questions that Mark and I delighted to respond to.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you change your mind or wish to withdraw your question, please press star 1 again. You will be advised when to ask your question. Our first question comes from the line of Martin Deboo with Investec. Please go ahead.
Gentlemen, good morning. Just three quick questions from me. The first one, I guess, is if one was going to be sort of critical of the quarter, you could argue that you had a tremendous tailwind with cold weather, which has been traditionally positive for Premier. So I guess the real question is what's happened to your market share? You report that on four brands, I think, including Hovis, but it would just good to get your overall sense of what's happened to market share in the quarter across the business. Secondly, could you, Gavin, just give a flavour of how you think bread restructuring is going, given it's ongoing as we speak? And thirdly, given milling is out of the underlying numbers, can you just give a brief update on how trading is going in milling?
Yep, Martin, I can handle all those three very easy. Market share was good and growing consistently during the quarter.
That's a sort of overall on average comment, is it, Gavin? Across the business.
Market share, yes, it was across the business. Market share on bread was flat. On the grocery power brands was good and growing. I mean, on a steady upward trend through the quarter and at a higher level than last year, and in some months higher levels than 2 years ago. So I mean, it was a good market share quarter. In terms of restructuring, you're right. I mean, the bread contract transferred this week, and at the end of this week, and so the criticality is that we take the fixed costs out very rapidly. As you can imagine, that's the plan that we're working to. We took one of the bakeries in January, the other, the pretty big one in Birmingham, which you'll have seen some comments about, is on track for this week, or the end of this week, and then we kind of work our way through the final pieces of it soon after. So no, we're very comfortable. I think this is something, again, early observation, one of the Premier's strengths is its operational kind of industrial capabilities. So this plays very much to our strengths, and I'm very comfortable with where we are, and that those costs will come out in time, and we'll end up with a kind of resized bread business more in line with what we consider profitable volume. And on milling, you're right. I mean, milling's a big revenue business that last year didn't generate very much contribution. Early signs are in this quarter that we are recovering profitability from a low level. I mean, it's not kind of stellar, because frankly there's not a lot of profitability in the milling industry as far as I can see anywhere. But it will be making a positive contribution to the overall trading profit growth of Premier in this year, if we continue as per our plans, and that trend was, early signs of that trend were evident in the first quarter.
Okay, thank you for that. Thanks.
Our next question comes from the line of Clive Black with Shore Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
A couple of questions, if I may. I mean, first of all, can you give us an indication as to how you see the promotional environment in the first quarter, and where you feel that's going to go in 2013, and whether that's a plus or a minus for Premier Foods? And you talked about the complexity in the business. Are there specific areas where there is a greater surprise in terms of simplification for Premier Foods down the line?
Well, the promotional environment, I would say, remains, I mean, promotional intensity is high in the grocery business, as you would expect. And as you can see, if you go into stores, as I spent half the day yesterday, there's a disproportionate focus on the round pounds, which you can see, which is has been a big part of the landscape in the last six or so months. Encouragingly, perhaps a little bit more of a swing back to multi-buys, which I think are more value creating, candidly, for brands that have evidence of expandable consumption. So I think it's at a high level, and it is pretty flat, is my summary. In terms of complexity, we have complexity. Actually, the industry has complexity in many dimensions. We have significant complexity in our supplier base, which is obviously an opportunity. We've done quite a good job there, but we're going to be working with our customers, to hopefully significantly reduce our supplier base, which will be the benefit of those of our suppliers that remain with us, and obviously to us, and makes it simpler to work. I think we still have dimensions of complexity which might be new to you in terms of internal ones, lots of price files even things like company statutory legal units, which are a consequence of you know, all the acquisitions and mergers in the past. So there's some internal complexity which we can take out, which would have future perhaps overhead cost saving opportunities. And then probably the other the third piece of it is to do with the complexity in manufacturing, with serving so many different SKUs. And you know, I continue to build the facts for me in terms of the number of SKUs and therefore the packaging and ingredients and flavors. And there are some heroic, extraordinary numbers like you find in all these companies about the number of chicken flavorings, etc. So that those are the three kind of buckets of complexity, I think. Suppliers, internal kind of complexity, and then those associated with packaging and SKUs. And you round them up, and I think there's an important opportunity there for it.
So there's an additional cost benefit of some magnitude to come through for you over the next year or two, yeah?
There's definitely the of some magnitude is a good way of thinking about it, Clive. We need to quantify those, and so that's work in progress. There's certainly cost benefits over and above what I suspect some people, you know, looking from outside the business have historically believed.
And can I just come back, if I may, on the promotional answer, for which I appreciate. Are you suggesting that there is a pendulum swinging back towards multi-buy that also offers you a greater prize and maybe an indication of a slightly more confident consumer?
I wouldn't say it's a seismic change, so I wouldn't want to overstate it. I've just seen some data to say that the very long, you know, quarter-on-quarter-on-quarter move to kind of single item pricing, if you want to, price offs, which has been a phenomenon of the last 2 years, away from multi-buy, there seems to be, you know, a softening of one and a kind of slight recovery of the other. So it's very early days to say whether there's that, how big a change and how long that will be. I think that would be good for both retailers personally and brand owners, because in categories like ours, where candidly the more the consumers buy to some degree, the more they consume, and actually expandable consumption is quite an important characteristic of some of the sectors that ours are in, then I think that would be a good move, and there's early signs of that. And whether consumers are more confident yet, I think, you know, that's not something I've yet seen.
Okay. Thank you very much for that.
Okay, Clive.
Our next question comes from the line of Robert Dickin with Citi. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everybody. You mentioned earlier that you'd seen some market growth in some of your power brand categories. I was just wondering if this was a function of a slightly better underlying trading environment, or whether you think it's a function of the fact that you've been putting more marketing investment into these categories over the last 12 months. And a follow-on question to that is, are there any grocery power brands that you think are underperforming at the moment? I know you mentioned a few power brands where performance had been strong, but I was just interested to see if there's any way you think that there's scope for some better performance.
Well, I think there's the first question, there's a strong correlation, I'm pleased to say, between the growth in the categories that we've been marketing, or between those two points. So the two that are growing the strongest are the whole ambient desserts, which is where Ambrosia sits, and where and gravy stocks, etc., where Bisto and Oxo. And that's very important for Premier, because they are all very strong brands. They have high market shares in those two sectors. And the fact that we've been advertising them and we're seeing disproportionately strong growth from the sectors rather than just the brands and brand share within in them is doubly good. So I think there's a, you know, there's a correlation between where we've been putting our marketing money and where the sectors have been growing. I mean, Martin mentioned temperature, the fact that it was cold, that may have helped a little bit as well. Happy to accept that that might have been helpful. So second point I was making is we are spreading our brands out. There's only so many brands you can advertise in a quarter, and so five was enough. The next quarter, for instance, the quarter we're in now, is disproportionate about Grossmann and Batchelors. Batchelors hasn't been advertised for as a mainstream equity brand, had a promotion last year for more than 5 years. So Bachelors wasn't that strong in the first quarter because its program is very much second quarter related. The same you could say with Grossman, Lloyd Grossman, which had a very strong March and has continued that in the second quarter. So those two are more, you know, horses that we're backing, or brands we're backing disproportionately in quarter two, and therefore were weaker than the other brands in quarter one. And I mean, Kipling, we put more of our Kipling money in the second half of the year. That's where we have our disproportionate focus for Kipling, and so it's interestingly growing less fast, and that's partly because, you know, we're spending less marketing money and less promotional money as we line up all those resources together in the second half of the year. So that gives you a kind of idea of the landscape between the brands. The key thing for me, though, the encouraging thing for me, is where we're disproportionately putting our money, then the sectors are growing fast and we are growing share within them.
Thanks very much.
Our next question comes from the line of John Reynolds. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi. Sorry, I've just come late to this conference call, so I'm not sure if this has been asked, but can you talk a bit about the brands and advertising on social media, and if you're seeing a good return on investment on that, or, I mean, is that still a debate that you're having internally or not?
Well, we are increasing, but not, frankly, at a huge level at the minute, our investment in the digital part of the media plan. So, like a lot of brands, I think we're moving in that direction without it being the predominant, you know, our predominant focus for these brands, because they've not been really marketed much at all in the last 5 years,
yeah,
has been on mainstream TV. So when you bring back a brand, I mean, take Ambrosia, no custard advertising for 10 years, the first place you'd go, obviously, is mainstream TV, because that's where you get the big impact and scale. So we are unashamedly sticking with what you might call disproportionately traditional media, because these brands haven't been advertised, many of them, for so long. Having said that, you know, at the edges, we are dialing up our investment in digital media, and I don't know enough about it to tell you, John, precisely what the return on them is, but I shall keep a close eye, and we should have that conversation again in the future.
And just finally, is there any of your brands that particularly lend themselves to digital advertising in social media or
not that I don't have that insight.
Yeah,
if that's the case, it's yet to come to my understanding, to be brutally honest.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you very much.
We have another question from the line of Martin Deboo with Investec. Please go ahead.
Gentlemen, another question. I just want to ask about commodity outlook. I mean, if we just leave wheat out of it, because so much is uncertain, you know, with the harvest in the summer, but just ex wheat, what's your view on your commodity inflation this year?
I think there's lots of puts and takes, Martin, but I think compared with 12 months ago, it's a pretty more benign environment.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore it's not really a sort of a feature we'd want to sort of call out for any special sort of focus or attention. I think you know, now the business compared to where it was 2 years ago is much more stable. I mean, any sort of minor price input inflation is just dealt with through the sort of normal course of business.
Let me ask it in a more paranoid way then, Mark. I mean, apart from wheat, which is hard to forecast, is there anything that's worrying you, anything that has the potential to, anything that's spiking at the moment, or...?
No. In simple answer to your paranoid question.
Okay. All right,
on wheat,
you.
I mean, who knows where wheat will go. All I would say is that we are... the outlook, as you know, I'm sure you're looking at wheat very carefully globally. The outlook looks poor in the UK. The harvest will be weaker in the UK than it was even last year, but everybody knows that. Luckily, we have the option to buy wheat both in the UK and on the global market, as you know, which we didn't have this time last year. And we are well covered in terms of our commitments. And at this point, who knows? But at this point, the global wheat market, as you know, is in quite strong supply as a position. Things can change. But.
Okay, thank you.
We currently have no questions coming through. Just a quick reminder, please press star 1 to ask a question. We have a question from the line of Charlie Mills with Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Hi, we've heard quite a lot about the marketing this year. Can you remind us, I think you're down for sort of 40, 45 million of total marketing. Is there any particular H1, H2 phasing in that compared to first half, second half last year? Thanks.
Yeah, I think this year the spend will be more evenly split between the two halves, Charlie. I mean, last year, you'll recall, we actually kicked off very, very early as part of sort of, you know, getting the brands back in front of the trade, in front of the consumer. And therefore, year on year, yeah, there was more spend in 2012. But overall, spend will be up this year.
That's right. Oh, so overall it's up, but it sounds like then the first half is likely down.
It's more, yeah, it's even, the spend this year will be evenly split between the two halves, and it'll be marginally down on last year.
Okay, thanks.
We currently have no further questions coming through. Just one reminder, star one to ask a question. And as we have no further questions, I will hand you back to your host to conclude today's conference.
Very good, thank you all. We know you have a particularly busy day, so thanks for the early start, and thanks for the questions. Have a good day. Bye for now.
Thank you for joining today's conference. You may now replace your handsets.